I hope that your hearts are prepared and ready to worship God this morning, but also to be taught from His Word. I was reading a story this past week. Somebody sent me an email about a certain private school in Washington that faced a unique problem. They had a number of 12-year-old girls who were beginning to use lipstick, and they'd go in the bathroom there at school and they'd put their lipstick on, and that was not a problem. However, the problem came after they put their lipstick on. They would go up and they'd press their lips against the mirror there in the bathroom and leave dozens of these little lip prints there in the girls' bathroom. Well, every night the maintenance man, he'd remove them, and the next day the girls would come and put them back. So the principal decided, you know, this is going to have to stop. So what are we going to do here? So she called all the girls there into the bathroom, and she met them there with the maintenance man. She explained to them that these lip prints were causing a major problem for the custodian. He had to clean those lip prints off those mirrors every night, and it was really getting to be a hassle. And so to demonstrate just how difficult of a process this was, she asked the maintenance man to show the girls how much effort it required. So he took out a long-handled squeegee and then proceeded to dip it in the toilet and clean the mirror with it. Since then, they have had no lip prints on the mirrors. The caption at the end of that email read, "There are teachers and then there are educators." You know, there really are those who are able to communicate things in a way that people get the message. What I want to take some time for us to do today is to look at a principle. It's a whole concept in God's Word that I think often gets overlooked. And that is, as you'll see the title in the notes there in your bulletin, teach the faith. You know, Paul told Timothy, preach the faith. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. And many times we sit back and we say, ah, yes, that is for the pastor to preach the faith. But you know, this concept of biblical teaching is one which we find all throughout Scripture. The New Testament is just overwhelmed with this principle of teaching God's Word. What I want to do today is take some time for us just to examine what Scripture says, especially for us in this New Testament age, about teaching God's Word. I want us to take time today to understand what it really means to teach the Word of God. Who is it that has this responsibility? What is it that we are trying to accomplish? When should this be done? How should this be done? Today, we are going to look at this in detail. I want us to understand really what biblical teaching is. Let me begin by telling you what I believe biblical teaching is not. Biblical teaching is not simply inviting someone to church. That's a good thing to do. I hope that you invited someone to church this week. You know, I invite a lot of people to come to church. And sometimes they come. That's great. Sometimes they don't come. And so I invite them again. And I invite them again until they start ignoring me. You know, it's good to invite people to church, but that's not what biblical teaching is. You know, passing out a gospel tract, that is a great thing to do. Even those "You're Invited" cards that we have, we ought to pass those out all over the place. And I know, you know, a year ago we were gung-ho about getting those things passed out. Have you passed out fewer this month of January than you did a year ago? You know, sometimes those desires and the fire that we have to go out and spread the gospel to our community, sometimes those things wane, gets a little bit weaker. But passing out the gospel tract, that's a good thing. But you know, that's not really what biblical teaching is. You know, sharing the gospel with somebody. Going out on Monday night visitation, going up and knocking on somebody's door and sharing with them the gospel. That's a part of biblical teaching, but that's not biblical teaching either. You know, maybe you're here today and you say, I got you on this one, Pastor Mark. I teach Sunday school. That is a good way to be involved in biblical teaching. But just teaching Sunday school, just like just sharing the gospel, is not biblical teaching. What is biblical teaching, you may ask? Well, I've come up with a very lengthy, wordy definition. But I want to give you a verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 28. Gives us, I believe, a definition of biblical teaching. It says this: "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Biblical teaching is the deliberate act of communicating the entire Word of God to a group or an individual for the purpose of presenting them complete in Jesus Christ. I believe that biblical teaching is something that I deliberately make an effort to do, whether it be with an individual or with a group, to teach not just one part of God's Word. And that's why I said just sharing the gospel is not the full biblical teaching. That's the beginning. Teaching a Sunday school class, right? Sometimes you may teach through a curriculum and you teach through with the elementary children. And you've got them for a year or for 2 years and you teach through your curriculum and then you start over and teach through your curriculum and then you start over. That's a good thing. But that is not biblical teaching, because biblical teaching has as its goal that every man be presented complete or mature, full in Christ Jesus. And in order for that to be accomplished, the full Word of God must be presented. Biblical teaching is important. You know, in the New Testament alone, there are over 106 times that the word teach, teaching, teacher, or taught is used. That's a lot of times. You know, it's demonstrated a number of ways. When we think about Jesus and His ministry here on earth, what are the things that we typically think of? Well, He healed people. Amen. And healing we find a number of times in the Gospels. Jesus was very involved with healing. Obviously, we think of Jesus preaching. He had the Sermon on the Mount. That great sermon has so many important practical things for our lives. He was involved in raising people from the dead. You know what? There are at least 19 times in the New Testament when it specifically states that Jesus went about teaching. That was one of His primary activities. He was the master teacher. Now, lest some of you be thinking, as the thought occurred to me, well, if Jesus was the master teacher, you know, He had 12 disciples, right? And He still had one that failed. You know, we're not going to have everybody who follows after the teaching of Scripture stay faithful to God's Word. But the example that Jesus gave us was to be a teacher of God's Word. You know, it wasn't just Jesus, though, who gave that example. The Apostle Paul. He told Timothy not only preach the Word, but he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You see, when Jesus called those 12 disciples to come and to follow Him, He began to teach them. He taught many others, but He taught them specifically. We find then the early church, another example. We find the early church, those 12 disciples, 11 by now, beginning to teach others and beginning to share with others. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, we are told that they taught the Word of God every day in the church. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says, "Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You see, when Jesus began as a teacher, He had 12 disciples. Those disciples then went on and they began to teach others. And in the early church, every day we find that thousands and thousands were added to the early church. Why? Because they had people in the early church who were willing to be involved in biblical teaching. They taught others. And they in turn then taught others. And that's why Paul told Timothy, "The things that you've heard me teach you, now I want you, Timothy, to take those and commit them. Teach them to other faithful men." Why? So it can stop there? No. So they can then teach others also. Biblical teaching is a very important aspect of Scripture. And I believe that biblical teaching is a means by which God multiplies the church. When we look at the book of Acts, and we look at the early church and how it just grew exponentially, one of the things that we find is that they were faithful not only in preaching God's Word, but in teaching. That deliberate act of communicating with people, not just how they get to heaven, and then say, "Hey, you prayed the sinner's prayer, brother, all right, see you up there. I'm going to head on to somebody else." But then taking them and saying, "Okay, you're a new believer in Christ. You're a babe in Christ. Now let me help you learn how to grow as a Christian, because you now have the goal to teach someone else." And as the early church had this process of biblical teaching, it grew and it grew and it multiplied, and God was glorified. We today need to understand this concept of biblical teaching. And I want to suggest to you that as we examine biblical teaching, we will see that all believers have the responsibility to be teachers of God's Word. If you are sitting here today as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a responsibility to teach God's Word. The first aspect of this that I want us to see is the call to teach. The call to teach. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we find a number of gifts that God has given to the church. He tells us here in 1 Corinthians 12:28, Paul says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." He goes on with these number of different gifts. But one of the primary gifts that is mentioned is this gift of teachers. You know, there are those who are specifically called and specifically gifted by God. They have a call to teach. I love sitting under people who have this gift. It is so obvious. It's so evident when you are around them. I know a pastor, Dr. Mark Minnick, is somebody who I admire greatly. He pastors down in Greenville, South Carolina. To sit and listen to him is incredible. I remember the first time going to his church. I had heard of him. In fact, he even taught some courses on college campus there. And I had sat under him as a teacher and I thought, wow, this man is incredible. I remember the first time going to his service. Looked at my watch. He got started. I heard that he went kind of long. An hour and a half later, I looked at my watch again as he was wrapping things up. He had preached for over 90 minutes. And I sat there just enthralled by his teaching. There's a man who has the gift of teaching. He takes the Word of God and breaks it down just so incredibly. And there's not a time that you sit back and look at your watch and say, "Oh boy, I'm hungry." Or, "Oh, I wonder what game is on this afternoon." You just sit there. You know, I am so thankful that God has called people to be teachers. Those people, when you're around them, you cannot help but learn and grow from God's Word. It's a wonderful gift. But you know, it's not just people who specifically are teachers, but the pastor. The pastor is to be somebody who is a teacher as well. The qualifications given in 1 Timothy chapter 3 of the pastor, one of those qualifications is that he be apt to teach. And there are those who are called by full-time ministry to be teachers of God's Word. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, Paul says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers. Literally in the Greek there, you could take out that word and just kind of put a little dash between the two. It's a one word, pastor teachers. It's the role of the pastor is to be involved as a teacher. Now some may be sitting here today and say, "Well, Pastor Mark, you just told us that you believe all believers should be involved in teaching, but you're saying now that there are those who are called to teach." That's not me. I guess I get out of this one. Well, I want you to notice Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. If you've never looked at this passage before, I ask you to turn in your Bibles and look at it now. It may be familiar to some of you. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Then in verse number 12, he explains why. Why does God call specific people into this ministry of teaching the Word of God? Verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now once again you say, okay, there's three things there. For the perfecting of the saints, so the teacher is to perfect the saints. And then you say, oh, for the work of the ministry, so that the teacher can do the work of the ministry. Well, I want to suggest something to you. Remove that comma after the word saints. Because the thought there is this. God has given pastor teachers to perfect or to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Now that fits perfectly with what we just read in Colossians. That we may present every man full or complete in Christ Jesus. You see, those who are called to the specific gift of teaching have as their goal to teach and equip others so that they too can be teachers. When Pastor Dan gets up here on Sunday morning and opens the Word of God and shares that with us, it's not for you to say, "Amen, that was a blessing, close my Bible, go home," and never tell anyone about it. He stands up here to equip you so that you can then take that Word of God and go and share it with someone else. We are to be equipped by our senior pastor, by those that God has placed in spiritual authority over us, to go and to be doing the work of the ministry for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, as we sit under biblical teaching, we then have a responsibility to go, as we are equipped by the one that God has put over us, we then are to go and to share that same thing with others. What is accomplished by doing this? The last phrase of verse 12 says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edify, we all know, means to build up. You know what happens when teachers equip their saints, and then saints begin to do the work of the ministry? The body of Christ is edified. The body of Christ is built up. Why are there churches that are stagnant? Why are there churches that are dying? Why are there churches that are closing their doors and putting their buildings up for sale? Because they're not involved in teaching the Word of God. They may have a pastor, teacher, who gets up and shares the Word of God with them, but somewhere between the pulpit and the pew, it breaks down. Or perhaps somewhere between the pew and the back door of the sanctuary, it breaks down. And people walk out of those doors no different than when they walked in. There was a woman who wanted to impress the pastor when he came over to visit. So she said to her little girl, "Honey, go get that book that Mommy loves so much." The little girl kind of looked at her and headed down the hallway. And she sat there chatting with the pastor, the mother did. And a moment later, the girl came back with the Sears catalog. You know, I think that's the way we are so many times. We hear the Word of God preached. The pastor opens the Word of God. And then we walk out of here and we say, "Hey, that was great. Amen. I can't wait to go back next Sunday and get some more." But we never take it the step further. It never becomes a part of our lives. It's never shared by us to others. Here we have a little girl who didn't know from her mommy which book Mommy loved. Thought it was the Sears catalog. But we see that there are certain individuals who are called specifically to teach the Word of God, to devote their lives to be teachers of God's Word. And that obviously then affects us. But as I already told you, I believe that all of us as believers have a responsibility to fulfill this biblical teaching of the Word of God. You see, the text that's listed there in your bulletin is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Most of us know these verses as the Great Commission. What do we find in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Well, we find simply this: "Go ye therefore and preach to all nations," right? "Go ye therefore and convert everyone to Christianity," right? No, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The Great Commission, the great command that Jesus Christ gave to His followers, was to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 20, very first word, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Many times we sit back, missions conferences coming up the month of March, and we say, "Amen, I'm so glad we have missionaries to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. Hey, I went on a short-term mission trip. Amen. I went over to Ghana last summer. That was great. I thank so many of you who were a part of praying and supporting that opportunity. And we fulfilled the Great Commission, right? We started to. We shared the gospel. We preached and we taught in the churches. We not only did things evangelistically, but we did things to disciple those who were already Christians. In the time that we were there, we sought to fulfill the Great Commission." But understand this, ladies and gentlemen, to fulfill the Great Commission is not just to go and share the gospel with somebody. It's not just to go and say, here's how you get to heaven. To fulfill the Great Commission, I must be a teacher of the Word of God. And this is something that is not just given to those who are called to teach. This is given to everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, these verses are for you. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That starts right here at home. That starts here in Midland, Michigan. It starts with my next door neighbor. It starts with those who I work with. It starts with my family. It starts in the church. Every relationship that I have, I ought to be looking for an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission by being a teacher of God's Word. Now, as I teach God's Word, I'm going to come across those who have never heard the gospel before. In fact, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, oh, I don't understand all this. You know, this just doesn't make sense to be a Christian, be a teacher of God's Word. What does that mean? There are going to be individuals who have never heard God's Word opened to them. You start with the very basics. Who is God? Who is Jesus Christ? Why does God love us? Why did Jesus Christ come and pay the penalty for our sin? Go through the horrific suffering of that punishment for us in dying on the cross? There are so many people who don't know something so simple and so basic that the Word of God teaches because nobody has ever taught them. If you are sitting here today and you say, I've known about that for years, praise the Lord. Somebody took the time to teach you. Teaching starts by sharing the gospel. But I want to suggest to you that it doesn't end with sharing the gospel. If you share the gospel and somebody comes down here and kneels at the altar and says, I need to be saved, we don't just get up and pat them on the back and say, amen, brother. You're saved now. Hope you know, if you can keep coming to church, that would be great. That would be a good idea. But, we'll take care. We'll see you later. See, fulfilling the Great Commission is seeing people come to trust Christ as their Savior and then watching them grow, watching them mature, watching them become a complete believer who also is then reaching out and sharing the gospel with others and teaching and discipling others. This command to teach is a command that influences every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It tells us there that in order for us to be teachers of God's Word, it tells us how to, one way of communicating is through our music. Our music does communicate with others. But it tells us if we are going to be good teachers, we must allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. I want to suggest to you that there are many people who do not fulfill this command to teach because in their own personal lives they do not allow the Word of God to dwell in them richly. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Do you personally allow God's Word to dwell in you richly? Do you personally allow God's Word to be a part of the everyday fabric of your life? Do you allow God's Word to be something that you meditate on day and night? You see, if I'm going to fulfill this command that's been given to me by Jesus Christ, my Savior, to teach others, I must be allowing God's Word to overwhelm me. I must be allowing God's Word to take part in every aspect of my life. You see, teaching is not just about having a certain set time. Maybe it's Sunday school. Oh, maybe it's a Bible study that I'm involved in. Teaching God's Word takes place every day, all day. I am always a teacher of God's Word, whether by action or by speech. I am a teacher of God's Word. I want to suggest to you that being a teacher of God's Word is not just something I do by actions. Because there are many say, I'm a teacher of God's Word. Everybody knows that I am different. There are things that I don't do and things that I will do, and people know that I'm different. Therefore, I am teaching God's Word, correct? No, not correct. Maybe they just think you're weird. You ever thought about that? I'm a silent witness for Jesus. Everyone knows that I don't smoke and drink and do all that other stuff, but people know. How do they know? Maybe they just think you're weird. Maybe they just think you're different. Maybe they think you had a bad experience with it. The only way people are going to know that you're different is if you tell them, here's why I'm different. I am different because Jesus Christ is my Savior. It would not please Him to do that. I ought to be teaching others, yes, through my actions, But my testimony, my verbal witness, has to accompany that. That takes place when I allow God's Word to be a part of my life every day. Because then everyone I come into contact with, I become a teacher of God's Word. Different people are at different levels. You know, there are teachers who are great with little kids. And then you get them up here in front of adults, and they can't communicate to adults. You know, they, okay, let's all open our Bibles now. You know, and well, that's, there are those that they are good at that level. And then there are others who are great teachers of adults, and you get them in with the kids down in children's church, and they say, all right, boys and girls, today I want us to talk about the theological implications of the incarnation and the ascension. And the kids are like, can I go to the bathroom now? It's usually what they ask. You know, we as spiritual teachers, we as biblical teachers, need to become the kind of teachers who are able to communicate at every level, spiritually. Because there are those who we're going to come into contact with who know absolutely nothing about God's Word. There are going to be those who, as somebody shared with me this past week, you know, I know where I'm going for eternity. It's a real hot place, but all my friends are there. I'm sorry that that's what you think. Your friends may be there, but you're not going to be hanging out with them. See, the Bible teaches that hell is a very lonely place. It's a place of darkness, a place of torment, a place of suffering. And yes, your friends may be there, but you'll have no clue whatsoever where they are. Because you will be the loneliest person in hell. See, there's some basic biblical teaching there. But at the same time, I need to be able to teach to others who maybe they know God's Word. Maybe they've been a Christian for years, but I'm able to share with them, hey, here's something I got out of God's Word in my devotions today. My Bible study today, I saw this. Have you ever seen that before? We need to become master teachers ourselves who are able to communicate with those who are perhaps babes in Christ, perhaps those who don't even know what the Bible is about, what the Bible teaches. But then to be able to communicate with others who have been Christians and to share with them how God is at work in our lives. You know, there are many ways in which we communicate God's Word, being a teacher of God's Word, through our speech, through our actions, but we must allow the Word of God to be a part of our lives. There's another story of a minister who was out visiting, and he came to a family, and the mom said to the son, hey son, go get that book, the Word of God. That's just such a great book in our family. And the son came back and said, well, Mom, if that's God's book, then we better send it back to Him, because we never read it. You know, the Word of God has to be a part of our daily lives. It's got to be something that, you know, if your family, if your children, if your coworkers see you reading the Word of God, maybe you're in school, for classmates to see you carrying the Word of God with you, it should not be a shock or surprise to them. We ought to be known as people of the book. Do your kids see you reading God's Word? Do they see you opening up the Bible and studying it? All believers have this responsibility. We are all commanded to do this. Now, lest you say, but Pastor Mark, you don't understand. I don't have the ability to teach. I cannot be a teacher of God's Word. Let me suggest to you that you can. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus made a very important statement. He says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If you are a believer, who indwells you? The Holy Spirit. You know what promise is given by Jesus Christ about the Holy Spirit? That He will teach you. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have a teacher indwelling you so that you may be able to teach others also. We as Christians have this responsibility. But I want us to see finally something that is a sad state of many Christians, and that is the failure to teach. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12 demonstrates that this was also a problem that some individuals in the early church had. The writer of Hebrews says this, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of God, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 makes it very clear to us that there were individuals who had a problem. There was a time that they should now be teachers, but they could not teach because they were unskillful in the word of God. The failure to teach occurs not only in the early church, but in our church today. In churches across America, in churches around the world, there are those who ought to be teachers. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have the command to teach, if we have those who are called to teach, who are sharing God's word with us, then let us not fail to become teachers of God's word. Maybe you need to take that next step today to become a teacher of God's word. Albert Einstein was at a dinner party, and a young lady who was a neighbor asked the white-haired scientist, what are you actually by profession? And Einstein replied, I devote myself to the study of physics. Well, the girl looked at him in astonishment and said, you mean to say you study physics at your age? She exclaimed, I finished mine a year ago. I think sometimes we as Christians do that, don't we? Oh, yeah, yeah. I read through the Bible once. What do you mean you can't teach God's word? What do you mean you're still studying God's word? I read the book. It's a good book, yeah. I think I even got an A in Bible reading. We are to continue. The study of God's word ought to be a lifelong pursuit. It ought to be a passion for us. How have you fulfilled the Great Commission since you were saved? And understanding again, the Great Commission is not just passing out a gospel tract. The Great Commission is being involved in teaching others, seeing them come to know Christ as Savior, and then watching them grow spiritually and watching them begin to reproduce and teach others also. How have you fulfilled the Great Commission since you trusted Christ as your Savior? How many people are you involved right now in teaching the Word of God? You know, don't just assume that it's going to happen. Don't just assume that as you go through life, you're going to be involved teaching with others. It's a choice that you must make. I read a story, I thought it was a humorous story, of a photographer for a newspaper who was supposed to go take some pictures of a wildfire for a national magazine. There's too much smoke, though, and he wasn't able to get close to the wildfire. And so he called up the boss and the headquarters, called down to a local airport and got arranged a flight for him. So he just, you know, madly goes down to the airport, jumps in the plane and says, all right, let's go. The pilot takes off and gets up there and he says, all right, here's what I need from you. I need you to fly over to the north side of the fire, and then we're going to do 3 or 4 passes over the north side of the fire. I need you to get down low so I can get some good pictures. And the pilot says to him, well, why? He says, well, I've got to take pictures for my newspaper. And the pilot paused and said, wait, you mean you're not the instructor? You know, that would be a dangerous situation to get yourself in. Sometimes we make assumptions. And maybe it's an assumption that somebody else is going to fulfill my biblical responsibility to teach. Maybe you're here and you say, I appreciate Calvary Baptist Academy. I send my kids there so somebody else can teach them about God's Word. Maybe you're here and say, well, you know, I'm a parent and I don't know all that much about God's Word. But I send my kids to Sunday school. They'll be okay. Somebody else is going to teach them about God's Word. Don't just assume, because assumptions are dangerous. Instead, take an active part, because we each, as believers in Jesus Christ, have a responsibility to teach God's Word. Parents, are you teaching your children? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, talking about the Word and the commandments of God.